Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Well, hi everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be. This is your show host, Barbara Hofmeister, and today you're in for a treat because we have a dear friend of mine from the Festival of Enlightenment that we were both attended last month, actually, in Colorado. Time flies so fast. It's amazing. And her name is Carol Fitzpatrick. Carol is a very special person. You will hear it, I'm sure, so I don't want to go into that. I want you really to feel it. So listen with your heart, not just with your ears. And Carol is an international known seer who served as a channel for higher consciousness. She's an insightful teacher, a mentor, and a guide. I think that's important to understand. Somebody that helps you see your own path and not somebody that tells you where you need to go. That's a big difference in my eyes. She's a visionary and a global activist. Her teachings center on opening the heart for living in the new paradigm of oneness consciousness. Oh, I love that. Oneness consciousness, and we are getting there faster than ever before in the life of us human beings. Well, Carol is the author of two books, Fear Not, My Child, Emerging from the Spiral of Fear. Very important stuff. Fear Not, My Child, Emerging from the Spiral of Fear. So go out and get that book. And the second book is A Call to Remember, Follow Your Heart and Change the World. Well, Carol, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Barbara. I loved your opening, by the way, to be or not to be, and talking about choices and consequences. Boy, is that ever. That's the essence of our life here, isn't it?
It is definitely the essence of our life. And last month, we chose to be in Colorado, and I really want to talk about that for a couple of minutes because it was such an amazing experience. For me, it was really powerful that I had the opportunity to bond with all of you, to meet all of you, you know, to really spend time with you, with all the speakers, and to connect on a level that normally at these type of conferences is just not possible because you're there for a day or 2 days and everybody's running around. We had a full week together, and our night in front of the fireplace, for me, that was so wonderful. That was really great. So how did you find the festival?
I really loved it in every possible way. I really did feel before I got there that it was going to be a time to meet my fellow world servers and to really kind of create a sense of solidarity of purpose. I really felt that because the times are changing so radically, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's really no longer is it about, you know, getting that huge visibility. It's much more about creating a climate, again, of oneness consciousness, and that's really where the true activation work is for me. And so I loved it. I loved meeting the other speakers, hearing about their work, but also the fact that we were all together. I felt that by the end of the week, it wasn't really about who was doing what, but more about the feeling. And not only the rooms when we would gather together in the evening, but also for me, I think my very favorite time of the day, every day, were those morning activations where we were all encircled together. And there wasn't, and when you're encircled together, there's no hierarchy. And it's really a time and a place where each one of us has an opportunity just to be in the presence of one another. And I just love that kind of experience. And that's what happens, is that sets the tone for everything that follows during the day. So, yeah, I absolutely loved my experience there all week long. And I just had so many amazing interactions with people. And it's almost like by the time, what I noticed for me, it was like Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, suddenly people started like totally popping energetically and started recognizing, oh my gosh, we only have one more day to go.
Yeah.
And there was a sense of, I don't know, I call it, what we do here in Virginia is called LTM. It's short for Living the Miracle and of Oneness Consciousness. It's all these experiential things that we do in the context of community. And it's this amazing sense of a global family. And so what I was sensing is by about Friday afternoon, evening, there was this accelerated sense of global family where suddenly everybody was just in this big, huge, wonderful heart space of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I loved that especially.
Yes. I totally agree with you. There was a very deep sense of belonging there, very deep sense. And I still feel it now. You know, it's still there, and it's just nice to talk to you, but I feel that I'm connected anyway. You know, even when I'm not talking to you, we are connected. This is
most certainly.
You know, in this is forever. It's like, yeah, we're connected, full stop. You know, nothing more we need to say about it. But maybe you can explain to people who have never thought about this one consciousness, maybe you can share a little bit what got you on this journey and how you realized that we are one consciousness, that we are one.
Yeah, well, it certainly has been a long journey, but it's been a deeply personal and experiential journey. And, you know, I know my quote-unquote teaching platform is really nobody can tell you. No one can tell you about the truth of who you are. You know who you are. You know, and every ounce of direct experience points us in the direction of our own heart. And so my journey began when my life became so completely out of balance, completely out of balance. And as I look back, it wasn't so much about what I was doing. I was doing basically all the right things. I was married. I was raising a family. I was running a company. I had launched, I owned two magazines, two regional magazines. I was in the publishing and advertising industry. And then suddenly, of course, but not really, as I look back, it really wasn't sudden at all. I really knew the train wreck was coming because I could feel it. I could feel it in my body. But when it did happen, it was so intense, and the fear was so overwhelming that I really got to the whole edge of my rope, so to speak, and I do what a lot of people do, you know, is I panic, I go into depression, I went into all the things that you would imagine in a situation where you're not seeing a way out. And what I was actually responding to is I felt from the very, very earliest time in my life a light inside of me. I was just, I can remember it was almost before I could really articulate it, of this incredible love of humanity. And I just felt like everyone in my world, in the world, was my family. And I remember light beings guiding me. And so as I went through life, I remembered that I made a promise to myself that I would always remember this light. I would allow this light to guide me. And yet I made lots and lots of choices up through about the latter part of my 30s that did exactly the opposite. I made choices that went against my voice, that went against my heart. And so by the time I was crashing and burning, you know, I really had to stop and just give it all over again, give it all up. And it was in that one of those classic moments when you literally ask for help and say, I can't do this anymore. Everything started opening up. And those same guides, archangels, and beings that had been around me all the time started to teach me, show me my life path, show me my purpose. And I went through about another 10 or 12 years where I just, you know, part of me was focused on just simply putting one foot in front of another to build my life again. I had two kids that I was raising as a single parent, and just put one foot in the front of the other. But at the same time, this other amazing reality and teaching and showing me, it was to the point where I felt like I was living a double life. But it all came sort of crashing together, not apart, but together in April 1st of 2000, when I parted company with, by that time, a nonprofit that I had been working for 8 years. And suddenly I was free. In fact, I kept getting messages for the 2 years before that, you're meant to be free, you're meant to be free. And of course, I didn't understand it. I was thinking it was in the context of my life that I was sitting in. But once I was free, I spent close to 3 years out of body, where I was seeing the energy around people. I was seeing the light beings almost more than I was seeing people. And even during that time, I was continuing to do what I felt was as I was guided, which was building a nonprofit organization based upon the writings that had come through all those 10 years. But what I recognized was, no, that wasn't it either. There was a deeper, truer part of myself that was ready to be birthed into reality. And of course, that's the current configuration that I'm in right now, which is, in 2001 is when I met my husband, Mark. And he was the one that really encouraged me to sit down and write, just allow the writing to come through. And from there, I started teaching and working with people, which I, again, everything was more spirit-driven than logic. And what I find with my work is now is nothing about what I do is logical, in the sense of I don't make decisions with my mind. I've been taught to make decisions with my heart. In fact, that's where oneness consciousness comes from. That is the new paradigm. And so my story and what I'm teaching is what I've experienced. And because I have such a tactile, visual, technicolor experience with the fuller spectrum of life, rather than just seeing physical objects and physical people, I see the much fuller spectrum of not only the life that we're living, but I've been taken and shown by my master teachers and guides. I've been shown the world. I've been shown the energy patterns of the human consciousness and what that is and why that is. And also I've been shown how to shift that, how to change that, how to transform that. And so a lot of my work is around global activation and taking people through direct experiences of how, if, you know, we are really in our heart, And we're able to channel very high frequencies of light through our human physiology. We're literally shifting the entire pattern of the human consciousness. And so that's really a little bit of my history, but I'm just, I'm always in awe every day. It's always very exciting to be of service because I learn something new every single day.
That's really wonderful. How can you, I'm sorry, I've got this tickling cough for the last few days, and it always comes at the most inconvenient of times.
Oh, that's all right.
Like now. Really weird. Every time I'm on the phone, it starts. How can you help people, or can you help? I know that you can, but maybe you can explain that. How can you help people that want to experience that we are one consciousness? Because the majority of people believe that they are separated from source. They believe that they are a separate unity, and this is why so many people feel so lost and have so much fear. So how can you help people, or what can you share with people maybe in the next few minutes while we're still on the show, that can help them understand that we are not separate from creation. We are creation.
Well, the most important thing that I would say to anyone that I would begin talking with is, you know, you are inherently aware of your heart. You know your heart because you feel when you're contracted and in pain and suffering, and you know when you are feeling joyful, loved, honored. That feels different in your body. And when you feel open and expansive and your body feels light and joyful, then you naturally reach out to people, and you have no fear. And oneness consciousness is the reality of living life without fear. That's oneness mm-hmm. consciousness. When we are fearful, it doesn't mean that oneness consciousness doesn't exist, but what we're saying when we are fearful, what we literally are doing is we are separating ourselves out. We're not separating other people from us. We are separating ourselves out from the one, mm-hmm. from the whole of consciousness. So it's not, in other words, like there's an infinite stream of, you know, light coming into the planet that's feeding everyone. It feeds our body. It feeds our mind. It feeds our emotions. It feeds our spirit. It's the life force. It's the vibrancy. And so the one thing I usually suggest to people is to get out in nature, get out in the woods, be near the ocean, get yourself out in a natural area and just take a moment and sit very quietly. And if you can't get out into a natural area, then look at a picture that reminds you of something very peaceful, harmonious, and joyful. And pay attention to your body. Listen to your body and find out where the constriction is in your body. And then purposely say to yourself, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm finished with that. I relax the constriction in my body. And then you find a feeling in the body that you can remember. Oh my gosh, I remember this feeling. Everybody has a favorite feeling. And, you know, the fortunate and unfortunate part that most people, when they go back to remember something that brings them really the greatest joy and memory, you know, they're going back to less than the age of 5. So in all of life, you know, and I talk with a lot of people, some of my clients are, you know, in their 80s, and yet, no matter what age, and I've done this exercise with so many people, go back and feel the feeling where you felt the freest and the most joyful. They're always below the 5 age range. And the reason for that is that's that is the time frame where we were less programmed by life, mm-hmm. all the shoulds and the have-tos and so forth. So if a person can really go back and allow themselves just to find a memory that's connected to a feeling and use that memory, that feeling, to overlay over what's happening in their lives now and start making choice from the more joyful feeling, you'd be surprised at how quickly your choice begins to shift, begins to change. You know, and I tell people you're going to have to really learn to let go of the facade of life and mm-hmm. start making choice on the energy, the feeling. If you make feeling choices, that's the language of the heart. That's the language of oneness consciousness. You're going to be really in great shape, but it takes a lot of courage to do this because so many people have painted themselves into situations where they find that they're living their lives out of a sense of obligation or they feel entrapped. But take it from someone who has lost absolutely everything in her life. I mean, sense of family, community, possessions, business. I mean, I've lost it all. And yet, at the end of the day, when everything was said and done, I actually felt more free, more peaceful, more liberated than I had ever in all my life. And that doesn't say that I was irresponsible, but it also tells me that earthbound possessions and even attachment to people, community, your place in society, it absolutely pales to a sense of inner peace that is possible. Mm-hmm. And yet you don't have to do it the hard way. As I tell people, like I did, you get to do it the easy way. It doesn't have to be so difficult.
That's true. I call those moments normally when we are really in so much pain that we need to let go of things. You know, we need to really center ourselves and go within. I call them our wake-up calls. I talk about it in my book also because that's what you're talking about. You were at a stage where the pain was so big, you just had to let it all go and you had to really go with the flow. And this is when we start living from our heart and we start letting our soul out and not, let go of all the layers of so-called protection we build around ourselves that doesn't serve for anything except to keep us imprisoned in our own home-built little selves. So what can each of us do to change our lives and with that to change our world for the better?
Well, it's really very simple, is to make the choice for joy, to make the choice for love, to make the choice for a more expanded version of ourselves. And what I find with people is when I tell this to them and talk with them about their choices, because as a seer, I can see the energy patterns of their soul level awareness, and then I can also see the energy patterns of what their personality has created. But when I explain what the difference in their choices are, you know, and what those perhaps crossroads are, and of course, I've always been told you never, ever interfere with someone's choice, because that's what it needs to be, is their choice. Then when we start feeling more open, more loving, happier, you know, more alive, when we end up feeling peaceful, we're more positive, and we're able to make empowered choice, you know, as opposed to being depressed, confused, and so forth, or afraid. And so just by making a single choice, one single choice to move in the direction of expansion, changes everything, because it's almost like having a domino effect. You change one incremental thing about your life by choosing empowered action, which is that feeling of expansion in your body, and absolutely everything changes, everything. So it's got to be deeply personal. Like, we did a workshop here on Saturday, and we were working with those lower energy patterns. And you've got to put a name to what you're actually feeling. And once you're able to put a name to it, and then to make a different choice, to really make a different choice to forgive, to love, to expand, then everything about not only your life, but absolutely everyone that you're connected to. I tell people that they're connected to about a million other people in the world. If you really just think about one other person that you love, and then they're connected to someone else and someone else and someone else, it's an exponential web of life that we're connected to. And so if the individual shifts, then absolutely everything exponentially must, because that's part of quantum physics. It's documented science by now. And
yeah,
so it's a really, it's an inside job, and it's a game of life that absolutely is, once you get into the game of feeling your way through your life, it's actually really very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so sorry, Carol, but we're already at the end of the show. And like I said in the very beginning, time seems to race always.
Yes.
And I want people to be able to find you. Where can they find you? How can they get in contact with you? And can you do this type of work also long distance?
Yes. They can find me at my first and last name, CarolFitzpatrick.com is the easiest way. And I do this work over the phone all the time, telesessions, private sessions, group sessions, and so forth. And then I also have a social network where there's a community that that serves as a support system, but people can find me, all that information on my website.
Excellent. So it's Carol Fitzpatrick, as you
dot
say
com.
It.
Yes,
Carol.
Yes, and FitzPatrick.com.
Excellent, Carol. And your books are on Amazon, or they have to get them from your website?
No, they're on Amazon, and they're most of they can be found in bookstores. Most metaphysical bookstores carry them.
Oh, wonderful. So, Carol, thank you so very, very much for sharing this half an hour with my listeners. Are there any last words that you want to share with people, maybe a word of encouragement or a tip that you want to give? We've got about another 2 minutes.
Well, you know, what I find myself saying to people, and for those, your listeners here, the most important thing that they can remember is how truly loved they are. No matter what's happening in their lives and however they're feeling about their lives, just always, always remember how incredibly loved they are. There's so much love coming in from those higher realms. There's just an incredible amount of love, and we forget that, and we forget to ask. We forget to ask for help. And the angels are always saying, ask us for help. We're right there. But you must ask. You must ask. And we will help you. We will be there. And they say that there's, you know, so much help, but you can't help and not help yourself. You've got to reach up a bit and take charge of your life as you do receive the help.
Good. Everybody heard it? You must ask for help. And I know what she means, because I'm one of those people that always used to refuse help, and now I'm open and I keep asking, you know, and it works. So thank you so much, Carol. Thank you. And we will definitely stay in contact. I know that. And I will see you the very latest next year at the Festival of Enlightenment. Thanks for being on my show.
You're quite welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Give my love to your lovely husband, Mark.
I will.
And next week, we will have a very different guest. We will have the very dynamic Ben Winkler. And this young man is actually helping women 40 plus, that includes me, to find their better half. I think that is a very different topic. I never talked about anything like that before, but I like Ben so much, he interviewed me once, that I invited him on the show. So next week, the dynamic Ben Winkler, and anybody that is 40 plus, any woman, come and listen, and the men should listen too, because because you might find out a thing or two that can help you. So this is Barbara Hofmeister from the To Be Show, and I thank you for spending this time with me. Have a wonderful week.
Bye now, Barbara.
Bye-bye, Carol.